Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anna May. A podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you. And may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk. Tonight we have Tommy Cameron, special guest, and we're thrilled to have him here. Welcome, Tommy.
Thank you for having me. This is an honor. I love Crosstalk. I love podcasts. I listen to like a million all the time. If I'm out to work, I listen to them, or out to work, you know, driving home or to a phone. I even go to bed listening to podcasts. So to have our own podcast is amazing. Amen. And I've been blessed by them and listening to everybody's testimony and hearing them talk about the Lord and what you guys have all started and done. It's a blessing. It really is. I love it.
We're excited to have you, Tommy.
I'm excited.
Bill's going to ask you the first question.
So happy to have you here, Brother Thomas.
Well, I love you, so I'm happy to be here.
Oh, number one, when and where did you get saved?
Okay, so I never was a bad boy. So, like, I never drank, never smoked, never did drugs, never did anything. So, but that doesn't mean that I wasn't a sinner.
Amen.
And truthful with you, it would surprise a lot of people to hear my attitude towards God. My attitude towards God at the time before I was saved was, I don't want nothing to do with God. I didn't want to go to church. Everybody would be going to church, I'd always be sitting outside, you know what Amen. I mean? And everybody like, why is he, you know, it was against, like, everybody thought I was a good boy, so I was never heeding about church.
Amen.
And like, people witnessed to me and all that, and I didn't want nothing to do with it. You Amen. Know what I mean? I wanted to go and have fun and do whatever it was that we were doing. And like, I was like a kind of like a class clown, so I liked to be the center of attention.
Amen.
You know?
Praise God.
So I was always doing raggy things. And so I remember 1998 in LA, we were there, and Roy's Church was booming, you know. Amen. And a lot of the young people was serving the Lord in there. And I tell you, two people that stuck out immensely was George Reed and Joey Watson.
Amen.
And, you know, it's, you look back on it now and you think about all the things that, you know, Roy's Church is a country church. And the fact that we got to be used so much in that church is a miracle. That's Amen. An open door that normally don't get used. So one night we goes to the church and Joey Watson's preaching. And I'm sitting there, like I said, I'm not worried about God or anything like that. I'm just there because George Parks, my friend, was there, Billy Holiday, they're all listening, and they're all, and I'm like, this, I just want to get out of here. Let's go to do what we're going to do. So I'm sitting there, and Joey Watson's preaching, and I don't know why, it struck me. Amen. And I couldn't take my eyes off of him. So I'd never go down to the altar ever, and he calls an altar call, and it's a big, huge altar call, and I goes down, and I gets prayed on. But, like, I'm still, my one foot's in the world, my one foot's in the water. Like, I went down to get prayed on, but it's my first real experience having that. You know Amen. What I mean? And so we, as we go on, later that night, we goes to In-N-Out Burger, and George Reed's sitting there, and he said, I seen you went down to the altar, and he's talking to me, and he was witnessing to me, but I was terrified. I was terrified to, I don't know what I was scared of, really, but I was terrified. I remember sitting there terrified, and I was like, I'm not going to give my heart to the Lord. I'm not going to do it. I went down there, but I'm not going to go. You know, I guess maybe a scared of commitment or whatever it was.
Amen.
But so he talks me through it. He literally talks me through it. Amazing. And he's like, well, I'll stay here all night with you if you want to stay all night.
Praise
and
God.
He led me in the sinner's prayer. Amen. And I gave my life to the Lord.
Amen.
Got on fire for God. I remember one night we went down and gave witnessing down in Hollywood Boulevard. I was handing out tracts, all that stuff. And then Roy's Church, an opportunity for me to give a testimony. Amen. So I gave a testimony. And thank God it made sense, at least. And I remember you, Anna May, when I was leaving. the church. And you and your husband pulled me aside and you told me, it's like, you have a gift and you know, you're called to be a minister. And you know what? That made me feel great because, you know, I just
remember
give a
you
testimony.
Were walking yep. out right. that way to the yep. parking lot.
Yep. We were parked on the side parking mm-hmm. lot and you stood right there. And so I fell out, you know, I was a yo-yo Christian after that. You know, I was on fire for God. The LA revival came. Everybody's doing good, all that stuff. I leave to go back to the country and do what I'm doing. Of course, the kids back there ain't like doing what the kids in LA was doing. And so I kind of fell away. And so from 1998 to about 2004, I'd be in it, been out of it, in it, out of it. You know, every now and then they'd ask me to give a testimony or preach a little sermonette or something like that, and I would do it. But then I was still living in the world, too, because, you know, it's hard to serve the Lord strong when you're young, and I was very immature. But then 2004 came, and we goes to a party at Sammy B's Pizza. But afterwards, my mom told me that The Passion of the Christ is, like, the greatest movie ever. So, like, it piqued my interest because the gospel story always resonated with me. So we goes that night, and I sits next to God Rest Big Dode and Jesse and all the rest of us. You know, we wasn't married yet, but all the crew was there. And we goes to the show at the Mills, and I gets a big Coke and a big popcorn, and we're sitting there. And from the moment that the opening scene come on, and they come to arrest Jesus, and they bust him, I couldn't stop crying. I'm not just saying it wasn't normal crying. Amen. It was sobbing. And to see Jesus get hurt so bad on the cross, amen, and everything that he went to up there, it wasn't like I was watching a movie. It was like I was there.
Amen.
I could smell it. Amen. I could feel it. When he would get whipped, I could feel it. And I remember crying literally the entire 2 hours that I never touched the Coke, I never touched the popcorn, nothing. And I remember Dode crying next to me, and we're both roaring and crying. And I remember leaving the show that night, bawling. I actually walked out of the show. There was a bench there. I fell on my hands and knees, and I started crying because I didn't know I loved God that much. I didn't know I loved Jesus that much.
Amen.
And the thing that really changed my life, like really got me, was I understood that Jesus died for me. You know, I was telling Uncle Bill before we walked in, I'm not scared of going to hell before then. I wasn't scared because I didn't care. I was lost. So what do I care about any of that? What's the last thing on my mind? It never really resonated with me. Amen. I guess I was an idiot or what. I don't know. But I was not worried about that. But the thing that changed me was like the thief on the cross. Mm-hmm. Is that I understood that I killed Jesus. I'm a kind of a, like, if you do the crime, you do the time. I'm one of them kind of guys. You know what I mean? If I do something wrong, I deserve to get punished for that. So I deserve the cross, and I deserve the whip, and I deserve all them things, and I deserve hell. Amen. These are things that I deserve. Amen. So grace to me is just totally mind-blowing. So the fact that he did that for me changed everything, my whole point of view. And, like, I was never really the same after that. Once I seen it, it was very, even that's the reason why I preach to tell people that story. It just, because what Jesus did for me is that he made him who knew no sin to become sin, that I might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That to me is everything. That what, I beseech you therefore, brethren, offer your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. Why? Because it's your reasonable service.
That's good, man.
Right? Because amen, of what he has done for me, I want to live for him.
Amen. So amen. You went for entertainment and you left with a God moment.
Unbelievable.
Amen.
Totally changed. And even to this day, if I watch it, I roar and cry. The gospel story just had a profound, the passion, this Holy Week. Easter's my favorite holiday.
Me too.
I just love all of that because that's what sets our religion apart from every other religion. You know, every other religion is man reaching up to God. Christianity is God reaching down to man.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a game changer.
Amen.
When did you feel called to ministry? How did that come about?
Okay, so like I said, I was a yo-yo Christian. You know, like a yo-yo dieter. He's up and down. Okay, so I was in that church, in church, out of church for a couple years. And so 2004, we goes to New York right after the Passion of the Christ, because it was in the spring, and I leaves a couple of weeks later. And so we're home, And Joe Gordon was running the church then. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for Pastor Joe and his wife, because Joe really taught me how to preach and did a lot of things. I'm very thankful for him. Yeah. But so I'm painting a house, and I'm working with Twin Huey Johnston. And so Joe hasn't came back yet. And the kids, we want to have church, because everybody kind of got a touch from the movie The Passion, because we're all kind of like sticking in now. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you preached before, you do it, Twin Huey tells me. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want that kind of responsibility. I mean, I'm going to go to church, but I don't want to do that.
Right.
And so I'm painting the house like this, and he's torturing me. So I'm painting like this here, and I feel like the Lord spoke to me, like really spoke to me.
Amen.
He's like, do it. I want you to do it. And I was like, well, I don't want to do it. Well, I want you to do it. And I said, okay, all right. So I gets on my hands and knees, and I'm praying to him. So Twin Huey comes around the side of the house. He don't know what's going on. He's like, did you fall off the ladder? What's happening here? Because I'm greeting and I'm praying. And so he says, so I looks at him and I says, if you can get the hall, I'll do it. So while I'm painting the side of this wall, you go and make some phone calls and see what you can do. Amen. Well, he got the hall, and so I preached the next night. So we got it for the next night, and I preached on the Passion of the Christ. And nothing that I did or anything like that, but there was a lot of people there that night. Like, the whole town was there, and every single person come down to the altar.
Praise God.
And it wasn't just like everybody just coming down to the altar at a good service. No, yeah. It was a revival.
Amen.
The revival lasted like 3 years.
Amen.
And all them boys from Jersey who never drank, never smoked, never did anything like that, well, that's the fruit of it.
Amen.
You know, they're all God-fearing good boys and girls, because God moved in that time. And then it was funny, because I think God knew that I had to have – see, I'm a task-oriented person. You know, if you tell me what to do – I'll do it. You know what right. I mean? If not, if I'm left to my own devices, I'll slack off. But if you tell me what to do, then I'll do it. And so I preached a couple of services, and then Joe named me the youth pastor like a month later. And then fast forward 6 or 7 months, I was a full pastor of the church. So
praise God.
God knew that He had to keep me on the street. He had to give me a job. And so then I was just in that, you know Amen. What I mean? And I've been serving him ever since. And if I can't preach, I can't breathe. It's my whole life.
Amen.
It's my identity. I'm a preacher.
You Amen. Had that Moses moment.
Yep.
When he told God, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And look how it worked for that.
Amen.
So praise Amen. God. You know what I mean?
And, you know, I believe it's my gifting. You know, I believe we all have gifting. And, you know, I feel kind of awkward like saying like, oh, it's my gifting. It's not like I'm anything great. It's just that's what God has called me to do.
Yes.
Amen.
So you feel... like, I feel like I'm natural when I'm doing that. You know, it's the same as anything. Like, you could see this chair right here. You could eat your lunch on that chair, right? Or you could stand on it to reach something. But that's not that chair's purpose. That chair's purpose is for you to sit in.
Amen.
So you could live your life doing things, but it's not the purpose of that thing.
No, it's good.
My purpose is to preach. That's why I believe I was, you know, that's my calling.
It's humbling to get a gift, because... it's God given.
Absolutely.
A gift, you don't earn a gift.
No.
It's a gift.
No.
And when you can recognize your gift, then all the more you can bring Him glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I was going to say, when you were talking there, God gives you a fishing hole where you catch fish.
Yep.
We all have a fishing hole
that we go to.
Yeah. And God, we're fishers of men.
Amen.
If we catch all the fish on one side, He puts you on the other side where there's more fish.
Amen.
So we have to realize what our fishing hole is for this to work in the movement of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
It all has to be God.
Can I ask you one question
Absolutely.
Now? What about Kim down at the mission?
Oh, Sister Kim was my lady. Everybody down at the outreach is my lady. Not my lady, but my people. You know, the Park and Preach team, the outreach, and I'm thankful for your boy Bill. And I'm thankful for Tom Lee. Tom Lee's my man. And,
Amen.
You know.
Well, that Kim question kind of blends in with another question we was going to ask you about standout moments, either from your young ministry up until now. Do you want to share some standout moments or influences?
Well, I tell you this. I never really share this to anybody because, I don't know, I just feel awkward doing it. But I believe that I'm a minister today because of my mom.
Amen.
And Amen. I want to encourage anybody here that's parents, because being a, apart from being a minister and apart from being Red Jesse's husband, being Kathy and Alexis's dad is my identity. Amen. That's my identity. I love them. Amen. They're my, that's my eyes and my God. Head
right.
and the heart and my chest. Yes. They're my pride and joy.
Amen.
And, you know, raising kids is hard.
Yes.
And, but prayers work. You know, the Bible says that if we raise our children up in the ways of the Lord, they'll never depart.
Amen.
And my mom used to always say, and I just spoke to her right now before I was over, and I don't want to sound like a mommy's boy, but we're close. I was always close to her, you know?
I was a mommy's boy.
So my mom used to always say that the Lord spared my life three times. And, like, they was substantially. So the first time she told, which I had her tell me it again right now to refresh it, but the first time I was a baby, full newborn, in a car seat, and her and my cousin Glo was driving on the road, a semi comes over and takes them off the highway, wipes them off the highway. They goes down an embankment. The car flips like 10 times and lands in the bottom of it. I was in a car seat, but I wasn't strapped into the car seat, and I wasn't strapped into the seat. So it was just like a loose car seat with a loose baby in it.
Right.
So the car seat flies out. Everybody flies out of the car, and I fly out of the car. So they thought that I was dead. I should have been dead, really and truthfully. Amen. I should have been crushed by the car. But somehow or another, the blanket that was covering the load wrapped around me.
Wow.
And I was safe on the side. I was safe Amazing. In a bush, like literally in a bush. The man had to come out and picked it up. And my dad always said that he'd seen the man, and he was carrying me in his palm, and my head and my arms and legs was laying limp, and he thought I was gone. But I was perfectly fine. He took me to the hospital. And nothing was wrong.
Amen.
Second time is I had spinal meningitis when I was a bit infant, like 2 or 3 years old. And that's a pretty rare disease, and it's a terrible disease.
Terrible.
Yes.
And the doctor said that I wasn't going to walk again. I wasn't going to ever talk. I wasn't going to have – I would be a vegetable, basically. And it's a full miracle that I'm alive.
Amen.
Because
you – And walking and talking.
All that. And so
– preaching.
And then the third time, I'm sure everybody knows the story about my Aunt Jean and my Uncle Alex when they got into that bad wreck in the car.
Did you win with them?
I was in that car with them. And I got goosebumps right now talking about it. When I was in the car with them, with my mom, my grandma Jean come over to my mom right before they were pulling out, and she said, "You're being rude. You better get in the car with your mother-in-law," because my grandma Minnie was. We were all in the room together, and my mom was like, "Well, I want to ride with them. I want to listen to music." She was like, "No, you're not. You got to ride with your mother-in-law." Yeah. So once again, in the car seat, but not in the car seat, and I would have been, you know, her back was broken. He got crushed with the car.
It's horrible, yeah.
I would have been in there. And so my mom used to always say that the Lord spared my life the three times because he told her I'm going to be a preacher.
Amen.
And, you know, I really didn't know how to take that, you know, as a kid.
Right.
And but she always said it over me. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I believe she spoke it over me. I'm like, I'm not one of them big people that's like that, like a name it and claim it guy, but I do believe that God hears the desires of her heart.
Amen.
And I believe God did tell her that.
Amen.
You know? God said, "You have not because you ask not."
Amen.
So you better talk to him. That's all I can say about everything Amen. And anything.
Amen. Amen.
Well, and God probably told your mother that, and she knew she had God's word on it, so she had the right to speak that over you.
I'm not just saying it. She would say it like it was a fact.
Well, she to her it was. She heard from God.
Absolutely,
it was a fact.
You know, so I think I am a preacher because of my mom.
Amen.
So,
Praise God.
That's good. That's good. What about visions for our people? What kind of visions do you have for our people?
Okay, so I have been very blessed. I was talking to Bill about this before. You know, God has took me through many different, I hate to say seasons because it's so cliched and stuff like that, but my ministry has been many different seasons.
I use that word a lot.
So right now, you know, I did a pastor at the church for a while, then I evangelized for a while, mm-hmm. then I was in the park and preach and the outreaches mm-hmm. ministries mm-hmm. for a while, but now God's put me in with the youth, and I have favor with one of my best friends, John Al, who's doing a great job with the kids here.
It's good.
And and he's my one of my best friends, and so My vision is for the youth, mm-hmm. but I preached last Sunday night about in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah goes and he has like his moment of doubt and he's depressed and all that, and he goes and hides up in the mountain in the caves, and God says, "What are you doing?" And he tells him, like, "I'm upset, things didn't turn out the way that I wanted to," and all this, and God then tells him, like, "No, that ain't the way that it is, because I want you to go down and I want you to anoint the new king of you know, of Israel. And Amen. And then also I want you to meet this new man that's going to take your place, and I want you to anoint him. And then the 7,000 has been, a remnant has been saved. It's never bowed down to Baal or did anything like that. And a lot of people look at the you know, when he is, you know, when he went to anoint Elijah as like, well, I guess, you know, God was mad at him because like he went up in that mountain and now it's time for someone new to come along. It wasn't like that. The greatest thing you could do is mentor or disciple somebody.
Amen.
You know, I've been blessed over the years to mentor and to disciple people and to start new ministries and be a part of it. Like, I remember the first day we had the outreach. I remember the first time we had Park and Preach. Mm-hmm. I remember the first times mm-hmm. we did all these things, and it's exciting to be a part of something new.
Mm-hmm.
So to mentor people and to disciple people, you know, Jesus says it's better to give than to receive.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with your gifting and your anointing. So when he gave that mantle, that double anointing onto Elijah, people could look at that and say like, oh, well, that's gone. And I wonder how that made him feel. No, it makes you feel wonderful. So to be able to help these young kids and to take off something that me or John would have, the anointing that's on our life, and give it to them, and they would have double of that, that's the greatest thing
yes,
ever.
Amen.
So that's what I want. And that's our vision, is that's to get good. These. You can't have a Joshua generation without Joshuas.
Amen.
Amen.
We need Esthers. We need Davids. We need Solomons. We need Amen. Peters and Pauls and Johns and all these people, because Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Amen.
And we need to raise up these young people and cultivate their gifts and give them a chance. And that's why it's such a miracle. In the beginning of the year, we couldn't get anybody to focus or anybody to... We didn't even know if they were know we were speaking English. We could have got up and said anything. We didn't know. There was nothing. And last week, we're 6 weeks booked out of people who want to MC, sing, and preach.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. That's a miracle.
I was just going to say, I see a difference.
It's unbelievable.
I see the waters are stirring. I Amen. See it.
And it's a miracle. It really is, because we Amen. Prayed about it. We had the revival for it. And mm-hmm. and you said it. We're taking our kids back.
Amen.
And that's what it was. That's Amen. Our vision. We're it's taking our vision. Kids back.
Amen.
If it ain't
Amen.
The future, that's what I try to do with the music. That's why I step back and let them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We got to use what we have.
Amen. For,
if the rapture don't come in my lifetime, I'm going to be out of here either way.
Amen.
So we got to leave something behind for them.
Amen.
But I'm looking forward to the rapture, Tommy.
I can't wait either. Let's go.
Amen.
My
Amen.
Bags are packed. My ticket's bought.
Amen. Is Amen. Anything else you'd like to add, Tommy?
Well, I just want to say that I thank God for everything that God has put me through in my life.
Amen.
And I really do believe that life is a journey. And I know it sounds maybe raffy or cliche or whatever, but I love the story when Nathaniel was called. And it says in John 1:45, it says, Philip went back and to look for Nathaniel and told him, we have found the person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathaniel, can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip said. And as they approached, Jesus said, now here is the genuine son of Israel, a man complete integrity. And he wrote, he said, how do you know about me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. And Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the son of God, the king of Israel. Jesus asked him, do you believe this because I told you that I seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. Then he said, I tell you the truth, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God going down and up and the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. And I love that part. That's my favorite calling of all the disciples. And I love the fact that he says, you believe me just because I said I seen you under the tree. You're going to see way greater stuff than
Amen.
That.
Amen.
And really and truthfully, that is what it is. Is that, I think being a Christian is very adventurous.
Oh,
Amen. It is.
Amen. It is.
And it's not for the faint of heart.
And
that's
for
brave,
sure.
And it's being full of courage. And all these things are exciting.
Yep. Amen.
It's an exciting life. Amen. You know, the kids have a saying right now, and it's a crazy saying, but it's, oh, last night was a movie. And what do they mean by that is that last night was so fun, and last night was so crazy and epic that I can't believe what happened, and we went here and there, and we seen this and did all that.
Amen.
Is that the Christian life is like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch a movie, and
that's
it takes
good.
You places
yeah.
all over?
That's good.
And that's exactly what it is that you get to meet people and do life with people that, like you and Aunt Margaret, and you and Tom, and you and Pastor Charlie, and Uncle Billy and Uncle Eddie and Uncle Ham. Do you know, I used to spend a month every every year in Delaware with my grandpeople, and I used to imitate Bill. I used to imitate Ham and Eddie and Billy McKenzie's messages in the car on the way home. It's like I get to be with them. These guys are like legends, and Joe Gordon and the New Life crew and Richard and Linda and all these people that, that God has put in my life, Daniel and Hazel and all that, and I love them. You know, I used to play a lot of sports when I was a kid, and I love the team aspect of life, and we're a team.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we're reaching the world for Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And that's awesome. And to be able to see the things that we see in the healings and the outreach and the people getting their lives changed and all these things that, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, I thought I was just giving my life to Christ, but it's so much more than that. You know?
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
There is no other life but to live for Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, all these things and the blessings and the protection and the provision and the guidance and all these things, but it is an exciting life.
Amen.
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 And I've enjoyed being on that team with you, Tommy.
Amen. Same with you guys. And we ain't done yet.
No, we're not.
No.
I went to say, I know you pastor out in Jersey,
yeah,
but we're sure happy that when you're in AZ, that this is your home church, because you are our family.
Oh, yes.
We love you.
I love you. And this, I have dual citizenship. I'm married into it. So, listen, I wouldn't be here. I tried to quit. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Bill, wasn't for Pastor Charlie, wasn't for Jackie Stewart. They went to the wilderness. I see, I tried to quit this thing. I couldn't do it.
Amen.
You know what I mean? They went and they got me, and they gave me a new purpose. And they, you know, with them outreaches and going down the streets and preaching on them street corners and just pure gospel, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. I love yous, and I love this church,
and
I love seeing what God's doing. Like I said, we ain't done yet.
No. We love
you. Amen.
I love you guys too.
Can't wait to see what's going to blow in next, huh?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There's a Psalm 136, and it says, "His mercy endureth forever,"
amen,
or "His love endureth forever." You can read it either way. And there's 26 verses, and all it says is His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
So praise the name of the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God.
So good.
Well, we sure want to thank you, Tommy, for coming on and doing this and praying and supporting our podcast. And
I love it.
What can we say? Thank you, guy.
I'm proud of you guys. And listen. These podcasts are great, and you can listen to everybody's testimony and hearing the things that God has done in their life, and do the same for you. You know? Amen.
Thank you, Tommy. We love and appreciate
you. Love you guys. God bless.
God bless.
You're the guy. Amen.
I don't know about that.
Amen. You're the guy.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast, and remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.